Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for our freedom, that we can be here, that we have a place, we've had food, Lord, that our country allows us to meet. Thank you for that. We asked you for so many that are going through all kind of treatments for different things in our church family, that you would just strengthen them, help us to encourage them, use us to help them in any way that we can, remind us of how short this life is, and help our focus to be where it should be. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This will be the last revelation for a few weeks, just because of the resurrection season coming on. So we probably will not get finished with chapter 13 today, but we're going to hurry on and go to the second paragraph, which is verse 11. You know, I'm just going to remind us of a couple things. You know, last week we looked at the beast that came out of the sea or the abyss. And because the Jews saw the sea as chaotic, and because they were not sea people, they saw that as chaos. And so the first beast, the Antichrist, actually came out of that as a picture. Now remember what I said? We're calling it a beast. It's not a beast. It's a person. It's a concept. It's an ideology. It's an institution. So whenever we see something that says it's talking about a beast, it's symbolic. It's not an animal. It's just the way John uses, the way God allowed him to speak in timeless language. So whether they're in the first century or the 21st century, the meaning could be the same thing, all right? And we saw that, how the Antichrist was the beast from the sea. And this week we pick up the beast from the land. In chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "And I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast." It's amazing. We'll see it in just a moment. But this is exactly what happens. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of them make up the Holy Trinity. And you have the devil trying to counterfeit that with the Antichrist and the first beast and the second beast. He's trying to deceive us into teaching that he's as much God as God. So that's exactly what he does. When you see all these beasts, he's working together and he's trying to ape God by having his own Trinity. And that's exactly what it is. Look what it says. "And he made the inhabitants to worship." What is the role of Jesus? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? All of them to point to the God the Father. That's exactly what's going on here. "The first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed." We saw that. "And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causes fire to come down from heaven and to earth in view of men." Because of the signs, he could do that. to do on behalf of the first beast, and he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. The main thing about the second beast is he's the false prophet. Now remember, the things that we're looking at here in Revelation, some of them already started back there in chapter 2 and 3. They're still going. That didn't just stop. And we just start something totally brand new in chapter 13. No, chapter 13 is just unfolding some of the things that have already been going on. Remember what John said in 1 John chapter 2? In the day that John's writing this, he said, there are already antichrists among us. So we're dealing with some of these very same things at this moment, even though this is not the final antichrist till we get later on in the book. When I say the final Antichrist, the ultimate Antichrist who comes, sets up all these things, and the world worships him, and then Jesus comes back and defeats him. That's ahead of us, all right? But all these things are still going on. So his whole reason is to deceive people so that you will believe something that is not true. He's a false prophet. He's coming out of the land, all right? Because of those signs. "He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, who was wounded by the sword, and yet he lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that he could speak and cause all who refused to worship the beast, the image, to be killed. He forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the name of the number of his name." And then he says, this calls for wisdom. How many people have tried to discern what 666 means? How many books have been written on that one? You know, that's where he's starting to go, and he's going to tell you. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the man's number. His number is 666. You know, there is something, we'll get into this next week, because we're not going to get into 666 this week, in case some of you are just itching. We're not going there today, all right? Or a week, or 3 weeks from now. There was this whole concept. Who are mathematicians in here? Somebody. I know some of you, what you call engineers are. Y'all remember something called gematics? Where everything in Greek and Hebrew letters is tied to a number? So you would actually know what someone's name was, and after you learned their letters of their name, you might call them, oh, I like 545. And it meant somebody's name. Because their letter was tied to a number, and that's the way it worked. I'll give you an example of it in the weeks ahead when we come back to that, all right? But everybody's, you know, when it first started coming out with barcodes, y'all remember all that? Oh, it's going to be on your skin. It's going to be three numbers. That's not exactly what that means. But we're not going there today, all right? So if you thought we were, I'm sorry, all right? He does not work alone. He has two helpers. He had the first beast, and now he has the second beast. Why? The power of Satan expresses himself as false prophets. He's been doing it. It was in the Old Testament. It was at the time of Jesus. We'll quote a verse of Scripture in a moment, just a minute, when he said it on Sermon on the Mount. Beware of false prophets. Why? Because they'll always be trying to lead you astray. Be careful of that. It's important for us to identify this second beast and the function. The first thing is said about him that he comes out of the earth. Now, remember, if you're a Jew and your whole concept of the water is bad and it's turmoil and scary and dangerous, and you would hesitate to have anything to do with that, then if you move to the land, that means now everything's calm. We can trust the land. We don't really have to worry about the land. It is not like the ocean. So that's exactly what happens. True deception comes along and it looks so good, you'll start to buy into it if you're not careful. And that's exactly what it is. He comes out of the earth. He comes out of the land. And the symbolism of this, absolutely, everybody that's ever studied it, they say it comes absolutely from these two phrases that are in Job. You know, Job talks about these two beasts. He talks about the behemoth and the leviathan. One came from the sea, one came from the land. And they say, absolutely, that is a symbolic in one sea base, one of land base. And you look at Second Temple Judaism and their writings, you'll see that those two animals were absolutely always symbolic of a lot of danger, a lot of mysticism with it, but it always pointed to this is very dangerous, you need to be careful. That's exactly what it meant. And John seems to be looking at that to convey the same thing. That's what he's doing. It's a symbolism that's picked up here. In chapter 12, we saw it. We'll see it in 13. We see when the devil is cast out of heaven. You know, when you see dragon in here, it's the devil, all right? That's what that means. That's the word, and we're going to see that's exactly what it is. He's restricted now. Remember, he was cast out in chapter 12, and that's why he attacked God's people so, because he realized when Christ was resurrected, he was defeated. Even though he wouldn't quit, all his battle now is on the earth. So he's using what? He's using the earth. He's using the sea to do his battle because that's where the battle is. So that's what he's doing. He's using these two domains to win what he thinks he can win, even though he's already lost. Remember, isn't that what happened on D-Day? You know, clearly the battle was over. Did Hitler quit? No. No, he did not quit. Even though he was defeated, and everyone knew he was defeated, he did not quit. That's exactly what's going on here. The devil knows he's done, but he's not going to stop. He's going to use these two things, and he's going to do everything he can to bring, and we'll see one of those things. We'll pick it up in the next few weeks. I don't think we'll get that far this morning. So it's not surprising. He would use this animal out of a picture of the animal out of the turmoil of the sea and an animal out of the calm, which is the land. Why? He's using both to trip people up. He's trying to fool us. That's his intent. And we'll see the evidence clearly that this second beast is the false prophet that's coming out of this. And he's characterized. What does a false prophet do? He deceives. There's plenty of those out there now. You know, you say, does this apply to us today? You don't have to look a fraction of a mile to say they're all over the place. Turn on the television. Listen to them and see what they're deceiving. I'll get ahead of myself. Most of you have never heard of Popoff. Anybody remember Popoff, the healer out of California back in the 50s? Remember what he was the first good one. You know what I mean by that? Technologically, the good one. And you know what happened? It took the news people to discover the deception. The Christians didn't even pay attention. And that's why it's so deceptive. That's why it says we have to be careful, because even the elect could be deceived if we're not careful. Here's what he did. You remember the movie Leap of Faith? Did y'all see that with Steve Martin? That's a portrayal of Popoff. What he did was, you know, he had an earpiece, and everybody thought, well, that's his hearing aid. Well, the news people started saying, I don't know about that. So they got to investigate, and they found out his wife was planted back there at the back door. So whenever he would have one of these healing services, she would stand back there, start asking these people to come in with maybe a cane or something that seemed like, they might have a little bit of problem. She would talk to them, and if it was a problem that he could fake, you know, he didn't heal broken bones or anything like that. But if it's emotional stuff or something like that, she would write it down. The bad ones, she would throw them in the trash. But the ones, she said, this might be something. She would write it down, see where they went to sit. And whenever he got up there talking, she would speak to a transmitter and say, oh, in J4, this is this lady. And they proved it was wrong. You know what? It wasn't but a few years later, he's back on television again. How gullible are people that we forget how deceiving the devil is. You know, they did the same thing with several other people in the last 20 years. Same kind of stuff. You know, fake. Oh, they put on a big show, but that's what this whole thing is about. Us need to be careful today. We don't need to wait if we're living in the time when this really gets intense. Right now, on every corner, the devil is using everyone. Let's hurry, all right? Don't go look up Popoff, all right? Don't read that history. It ain't worth it. I'll just tell you the whole deal, all right? But it's kind of funny. You know, I'll tell you another one. Y'all remember, I can see his blonde hair right now. No, not Baker. Oh, man. He was, when the last year they caught him, he had raked in $80 million that year. He was on television. He was one of these, you know, send me $5 because that's seed money. And we'll pray over it and God will answer it. He was out of Dallas. And I remember when they proved him doing the same thing, it wasn't 5 years, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, he was back on television again. Why? We're gullible. We forget how evil keeps coming back in a new form. That's exactly what he's talking about. A false prophet is characterized by deception. That's the whole thing about it. And the devil is very good at it. In the mind of the ancient Jews, I already told you, that's what it was. So something comes from land, we can trust this. Just because a preacher says it doesn't mean you can trust it. Just because somebody with a PhD writes it in a book, it doesn't mean you can trust it. And surely Google can't be trusted that it's true. I hope you know that by now. Right? You do know that? Not everything on there is fake. But if you look something up on Google before you use it, you better test it through 10 other sources first. To see. And then depending on what source you get is whether that's even true or not. It's just like, does anyone tell the truth anymore? Basically, no. I mean, am I right or wrong? That's where we live. And that's exactly what he's talking about. They say, well, this doesn't sound so bad. You know, and that's what the devil does. In our day and time, classic liberalism will not come to our church and we're going to buy into it. It did in the 60s. The churches bought into it. They didn't recognize what it was coming out of Germany. Today, that wouldn't happen. But the way it sneaks in here now, I'm going to give you a couple examples if we get that far. It comes in so subtle, the devil knows. He can't just come up to us and say, well, you know, you can't believe in Jesus because he's not even God. He knows we're not going to buy that. So he's got to try to come in from another angle if he's going to have a chance to deceive us. That's what he's talking about. He's coming in, they're coming in on the land. Oh, we can trust that. We can trust the sea, but we can trust the land. Not necessarily. And that's exactly what's happening. That's precisely what makes this beast more dangerous, because he's deceptive. He's deceptive. You know, you need to proof everything. You sign a contract, you better read all the fine print with two magnifying glasses. Am I right or wrong? Extended warranties is a joke. If you don't know that yet, if you succumb to that, I'm sorry. Because we got people in this room can verify what I'm saying. It doesn't take much for them to say, oh, that disqualifies you. You had your tire fixed one day. That disqualifies the whole warranty on your drivetrain or your car just because you had your tire fixed one day. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Very deceptive, all right? If you sell cars, I'm sorry. Don't be one of those, all right? That's all I can say. But that's what it is. It's deception. The devil doesn't manifest himself. He does. He does not just come as a roaring lion. The Bible says he comes as a roaring lion, seeking who can he devour. He comes in that way, but he doesn't only come that way. How else does he come? As an angel of light. Oh, this has got to be God. This can be no other way. This has to be God. And he comes like an angel of light. He says he comes both ways. He's not a dummy. He'll do whatever he needs to do to get into our system and deceive us. When I say our system, my system, your system, our system, the church's system. Sometimes he's portrayed as an angel of light. Sometimes as a roaring lion. The heart of the matter is this. The beast is satanically inspired and has power to deceive people across the board. There's such a power influence there in deception. If you're not paying attention with everything you have and have some people around you paying attention with you, you'll be deceived. You'll buy into something that is absolutely not from God. And that's exactly what he says. He's the master. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. Oh, that person was healed. That had to be of God. No, it doesn't. You remember Moses? Remember he was given the plagues? What did the Egyptian magicians do? Copied him. The devil has all kind of power. Just because you see something that looks like a miracle, don't automatically attribute that to God. And they copied him. Why? Because, and it's still out there. You know, we'll get to that if we hurry. How are we on time? Y'all sang up my time, didn't you? I'm joking. You're not the first one. The language is probably drawn from the same thing that Jesus said. What did he say? He said what? Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but what? They're really wolves. Oh, they look good, but they're ferocious wolves. Now, there are some attacks that will be made on Christianity that are so clear it's done away with. People are jailed for it. They're in prison for it. Everybody sees it. Okay, that's that blatant one out there. But that's not mostly the way that happens, because he knows somebody's going to recognize it. Sometimes that happens that way, not normally. And this is another way. Very subtle. Somebody come up to you that has something they're going to add to the gospel. The gospel meaning Jesus is God in the flesh, born of a virgin, died on the cross, lived a sinless life, rose again. That's the gospel. Okay? Nothing else to that. Baptism's not tied to that. Speaking in tongues is not tied to that. That's the gospel. All right? They'll come along and say, oh, we're so glad you're a Christian woman. But there's some deeper truth you need to know. Oh, now Jesus, his blood on the cross will forgive you for your sin, but it can't help you with that emotional problem you have. You got to go somewhere else to get that. You see how that works? And so you start with your 5 degrees off right now. You keep going, you get 10 degrees off. By the time you pass that idea on to another generation, it's 50 degrees off. And you're so far from the gospel, you can't even take field glasses to find it. That means binoculars for you people who don't know that terminology. Then it easily takes you away. Some of you may have been there already. You started believing this thing, you said, And then finally somebody corrected you and said, now I see it, because it's so easy, because the devil has such power to be able to do this. because that's the whole plan. The whole plan is to deceive us. And the text says the beast bees like a dragon in verse. It doesn't mean he's blowing out fire. Remember what I said earlier? This is not about animals. We looking for this big old red dragon that's going to come to us. No, we're talking about people. We're talking about preachers. We're talking about ideas. We're talking about institutions. Don't they have a dragon language? I've heard of it before. I don't believe it. It's not the roar of the dragon, but he's talking about he is the mouthpiece. It's symbolic. He is speaking for him. That's what it is. And his words lead people away from the gospel, away from Jesus. And he does it so subtly. If you're not paying, you know, I keep saying this, but my daddy was right. Even back in how many years ago? 50 years ago, when he only had a fifth grade education, he said, "You can't believe anything you hear and half of what you see." Now you can't believe anything in what you see. With AI, everything's fake. You do know that, right? Do you understand that capability? Meredith had to do something with one of her classes, and it was part of the class where she had to design something with pictures. She just types stuff. So when you see a picture of something, don't think, "Oh, well, that's got to be true because it's a picture." No. No. What's going on now, the devil just has so many more abilities to deceive us. Used to, when it was just a black and white Polaroid, you had to say, "Somebody took that," right? Now, that's not the way it is. You know, how many, and I don't know anything about this. I know because Meredith has done some of it for some different class stuff. You can take a picture in your phone and make it look like all kind of things, can't you? What is that? Deception. That's what that is. So the devil has so many more things capable of doing that. Means we have to be more careful than ever than our ancestors were. Why? Because he can deceive us. Because it sounds so much like the real thing. Ain't that right? Ain't that what a good counterfeit is? It looks so much like the real thing, you can't tell the difference unless you've been trained to tell the difference. The beast is labeled as the false prophet. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. And he's not talking about frogs, okay? Remember symbolism. He's trying to paint you a picture. It was talking about something. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, the words. They're speaking for the dragon. Out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's the dragon, the beast, the first beast, and then the second beast. But the beast was captured. We're going on down to chapter 19 to show you what happens. That there are three and they are real and they are done away with. But the beast was captured and with him the false prophet who had performed miraculous signs on his behalf. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are to uplift God. Okay? The Antichrist and the beast are to uplift the devil. He's trying to be God. That's the whole picture that's going on here. That's what's going to end up in the end, what he's trying to do. That's exactly what the second beast had done. He had performed the signs so that the first beast could be raised up and worshipped. That's what he did it for. Down to 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They all end up, if you follow them, you lose. You know that, right? Remember what we saw last week? We'll see it again. In the end of this thing, there's only two groups. One who follows the beast, one who follows the lamb. The beast being the devil, the lamb being Jesus. Only two groups. Not in between. There's not Catholics. There's not Baptists. There's not Presbyterians. There's either followers of the devil or followers of Jesus. Period. Nothing in between. That's exactly what he says. We won't get that far today, but it's in our verses. And they were thrown into the lake of fire. They will be tormented day and night. All these people who say, "Oh no, we're going to be all annihilated. We're just going to burn up and be gone." That's not what this says. What does this say? Forever and forever. Look up that term in Greek. It's a long period of time running into a long period of time running into a long period of time running into a long period of time. There's no end. Isn't that kind of funny? They say, "Oh yeah, eternity, heaven is forever, but hell is not." But it's the same word. How you use the same word to say eternity is for heaven, and it's the same word there, but hell's not forever. You're doing a lot of gymnastics with your words there. That's not that way. It's the unholy trinity of the devil. That's where he wants to be worshipped. Remember? Remember in the garden? You fall down and worship me. He told Jesus, you fall down and worship me. Why? He wanted to be God. He's still after it. He's still trying to deceive us. So we will follow him instead of Jesus. The first beast, and now the second beast, who was a false prophet, or finally, we'll come to that in chapter 20, and this thing's really get interesting. The very terminology false prophet means what? Somebody's deceiving. You know any deceivers? There's some people really good at it. I mean, they're really good at it. That's what the false prophets do. They deceive. And most of the time, it's for money. If you don't think that's the case, here's what I want to tell the faith healers. You know, they have these conferences where you come if you want to be healed. And they charge you. Right? Why not go over to the hospital? The hospital's not going to pay them. But you see what happens there? If you're truly a faith healer and you can heal people, why don't you go over there? There's always somebody there, right? Hello? See, what does that do? That shows you somebody's being deceptive here. Am I saying God can't heal people? I didn't say that. I did not say that. I'm not saying that God can't miraculously heal someone, and that he doesn't. He just doesn't do it the way most of the time we see it being done. It's a game, and it's about money most of the time when you see it. I just had that guy's name in my mind, and I lost it. Don't look him. Well, if I don't tell you his name, you can't look him up, can you? He serves the Antichrist, who serves Satan, which is the holy, unholy Trinity. The false prophet is the second beast. The first one is the actual Antichrist. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal one. We did a miracle. We raised him up. Everybody needs to worship him. See how that works? Oh, if God would just do this miracle, then I'll believe him. No, you won't. That's not the way that works. Jesus made that clear as day. You remember? You remember the story with Lazarus and the man in hell, and he looks up and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he's down there in torment. And he says, if you'll just let Lazarus come and just put some water on my lips. And no. If you'll send somebody back from down here to my five brothers, then they won't have to come down here. And he said, oh, no. They have what? Moses and the prophets. They have the truth. Either they're going to believe that, a miracle is not going to change anything. That's the way it works. If you're waiting on a miracle, you'll never be saved. That's just not the way we're put together. If you're waiting on God to do something supernatural before you trust him, you'll probably never trust him. And the devil will deceive you into thinking, oh, we can do this, so you trust us. So that's what he's done. He's just raised up somebody that had a fatal wound, and now he's alive again. For anyone who's read John, you know absolutely he's talking about the devil is trying to make sure that the world sees he's just as powerful as God. He's God, he has a Holy Spirit, and he has a son. Those two beasts are serving him. The same thing. It's an unholy trinity. That's exactly what he's doing. The Father sends the Son, the good God, our Hebrew God. The Father sends the Son. The Son displays the glory of the Father. The Son obeys the Father. You have that clearly in this Antichrist and the two beasts and the dragon. That's exactly what you have. In his departure, when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit comes back to bring glory to the Son. What is he doing? We raised him up, so we want the rest of the world to worship him. Boy, that's exactly what's going on. He's trying to duplicate, in a counterfeit way, God. The Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what's going on here. Satan sends the first beast, and then the second beast comes along and tries to bring glory to the first beast. Boy, doesn't that sound just like the Holy Spirit and Jesus? Yes, that's exactly what he's trying to do. He wants all the world. You know what the devil told Jesus? He puts him, I'll bring all the nations of the world, and they'll be at your fingertips if you'll fall down and worship me. Remember? It hasn't changed. It's the same thing. He said, oh, no. What did he do? He quoted Scripture. What you have in this chapter is a constant aping of the Trinity. Oh, we're bigger than God. We have our own Trinity. Which is a way of saying there's an audit. This is always what deception is. There's a better way than God. This God you're trying to worship is not the best way. We have the best way. is always an alternative way to structure it so we worship another God other than Jehovah God, God of the Old Testament. And it's called idolatry. Some of you do that now. You worship a person. You worship your money. You worship your house. You worship your car. You worship your prestige. You already serve in idolatry. Anything that you put in the place of God that you value more than God is idolatry. And what happens is we do it, and we're so deceived by the devil, we do not even recognize that we're doing it. That's what the devil's game is. He wants you to feel like, oh, yeah, you're serving God, but you're keeping all this other stuff over here, but you're really in control. That's what he wants. The false prophet glorifies the Antichrist as the Holy Spirit is sent to glorify the Son. That which opposes God often does so secretly by just trying to slip in and take God's place. Well, you once were committed to doing this for God, but now you're so busy over here making this money, you slip that into the slot. See how that works? So it just kind of easily sips into place and takes God's place, not out there on the front where you notice, but before you know it, you spend a whole lot more time making money than you're doing anything to serve God. That's where we live, right? Well, I've got to make money. Well, yeah, you do. But how much do you have to make? Well, you know, I've got to work overtime. Why? Because I pay time and a half? Did you volunteer? Oh, no, they didn't make me, right? You did it because you get time and a half. Hello? But we justify it, right? What's that old saying? Oh, the ox is in the ditch, so we got to get him out. Don't put him there on Saturday. Well, if the ox ditches on Sunday, how many times do we hear that? We never worked on Sunday. My dad wasn't even a believer then. People around us worked on Sunday when we were farming. I never in my life, even in earning time, which is planting, or in harvest. The Bible says that. In earning time and in harvest, 6 days shall thou labor. How many times do we hear it? Am I judging them? Nope. I'm not judging them, but that's what they say. Well, the ox is in the ditch. We got to get him out. I said, but you put him there on Saturday. Because the power of the devil has that power to deceive us, and before long, we start over here, and we're 5 degrees off. In 2 years, we're 50 degrees off, but we still don't see it. See, that's the danger of it, what he's talking about here. Well, I'm sorry. Y'all are slow today. We got to quit. All right. We'll pick this back up after Resurrection Sunday, and it gets more fun. That's the good thing about it. Don't be afraid. You know, don't be afraid. This is God's Word, and we'll try to the best we can to understand it. And some of it we will, and some of it we won't. We just trust, right? Our eyes open. What'd they say during the Civil War? Trust God, but keep your powder dry. Trust God, but keep reading your Bible. Trust God and keep thinking the way God wants us to think. We'll get to that one next week or 2-3 weeks from now. When is Resurrection Sunday? 3 weeks? Is that right? Yeah, next Sunday's the first week in April, right? Then 2 and then 3. 3 weeks, all right. It's good to see you all today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you have a plan. Thank you that you have the absolute truth that we can trust. Lord, help us. Help us with our eyes open. Study your word and see what it says so that we can see when the devil is trying to deceive us. And it is so easy to be deceived. We ask you, Father, to help us. Help us encourage one another to seek the truth and follow the truth so that it will bring glory to you and that lives will be changed. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.